They get involved in real estate. They think that they're going to fix something up. They're going to sell it. They're going to make X amount of money. But in actuality, they end up selling themselves too short. By myself, I only can do one property. But what if I had 10 investors come together? Maybe I can do 20 properties. I realized very early on, I can do a whole lot more with more people. Don't be afraid to hire the right people. Don't look at how much the salary is going to cost. Look at how much value it's going to bring to your company. Who you are matters. I don't care about your reputation. Your reputation is what other people give you. Your character is who you are.
It has to work where it has to work.
Welcome to Circle of Greatness. I'm your host, Nehemiah Davis, and I had to bring my sis back, right? And today we're going to talk about real estate. We're talking about building a team of eight players, and we're talking about how you can continue to get to the next level and talk about how you're going to get into real estate this year. Without further ado, my sister, probably for the third time, y'all keep asking for her, so we're gonna keep bringing her back. Terica Lynn Smith, what's up, sis?
Hey, yeah. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good. What's been up in the world? How you been?
I've been amazing. Okay. You know, working, you know, building, buying
and selling. Building. You don't stop doing that.
No.
When do you decide to sell for you?
So that's a great question. A lot of people have to understand that there's a science to this. You don't just sell when you feel like it, right? You sell once you reach the exit plan of your real estate portfolio. So a lot of the times when we buy a property during the underwriting process, we know exactly at what stabilization point we're going to actually sell the property. So for
stabilization, tell me what that means.
Stabilization means you have stabilized the asset. It has consistent rent. Your vacancy rate is low, and that now you're making positive cash flow consistently every single month. You stabilize the asset. It's not unstable anymore.
Got it.
And so a lot of the times after the stabilization period, we tend to sell when the market has very low interest rates. Why? Because we get more bang for our buck. So whenever the interest rates are low, we can sell at a higher price because their mortgage payments is going to be lower. When the interest rates are high, we can't sell for as much, so we lose some of that equity. So it's very important for us to know the real estate clock, which is the summer months, right? So we got summer, winter, fall, and spring. So in spring and in fall, we're usually doing our underwriting, preparing for what we're going to buy, preparing for what we're going to unload. So when summer comes, which is the hand on 12 o'clock, we're going to sell the property. In winter, we're buying property. So it's very, and winter is at 6 o'clock. So it's very important to pay attention to the real estate cycle, which we call the real estate clock. So right now we're heading into, we're still kind of like in winter, and we're headed into fall. So that means right now I'm not focused on selling. Although the assets is stable, I won't get as much money as I would if I was to sell when the hand hit 12 o'clock in the summer months. So if I wait another year, interest rates drop a point or two, then I'll be able to sell the property and I probably get a point and a half, two times more, depending on, you know, the asset of what we would sell in value.
When you're selling, are you selling to go bigger?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, in real estate, you definitely want to continue going up. You don't want to go backwards, you know. So whenever you make a large profit, like one of the deals we have, we're probably going to make about $500,000 on it. It's an apartment complex. Well, when we sell this apartment complex and we make $500,000 on it, now that's money for us to go into a larger community. So we continuously building up.
Let me ask you this question. Why not just keep the property forever? Like, that's my concept.
So we have some assets. That's a great question. We have some assets that we will keep forever, that we will pass on to our children. But again, that's whenever you first buy the property and you do your underwriting process, you determine what your exit is going to be. There may be a 5-year exit, a 10-year exit.
Every property you do an exit at the very beginning.
At the very beginning. That way we're not guessing along the way what we're going to do with this property, how we're going to make money, because that's a lot of mistakes new investors do. They come inside, they get involved in real estate. They think that, you know, they're going to fix something up. They're going to sell it. They're going to make X amount of money. But in actuality, they end up selling themselves too short. So for me, I like to make sure whenever we're underwriting a deal, I'm able to know exactly what we're going to do with that. So when it's time, all the investors know. We also like to get our investors paid, get a decent return on their investment, and then be able to move them into something bigger as well.
You've been having investors invest with you. Now, I know I've been investing with you now probably going on 2 years. When did you, or what made you say, I'm going to start investing and having other people be a part of it? Like, what gave you that idea? Because to me, that That's somebody that's thinking about leverage. That's somebody that's thinking about scaling.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you only could go, when I say you people, mm-hmm. you only could go but so far with your own capital. Mm-hmm. And again, Robert Kiyosaki always talk about how I think he's in between $2 to $4 billion in debt,
mm-hmm.
which is good debt, real estate. But what made you say, hey, I'm going to have other people invest with me? And mm-hmm. like, walk me through that. I don't think I'd ever ask you that.
No, that's a great question. So, honestly, I wasn't thinking about leverage and or scaling. I was at a real estate closing. The attorney passed me the real estate folder. Okay. Now, keep in mind, I'm at a closing table. I'm a realtor at this point. I found the deal for the investor. I fixed up the property. I did all the design in there. I did all of the work. I brought in my own contractors. I oversaw the project. I made sure the work was done on time. And then I went and found a buyer. And then I was able to bring him to the closing table. So I did all of that. All he did was put in the money. That's it. So I was sitting at the closing table and the attorney gave me a real estate folder. Then he gave my investor the real estate folder. I opened a real estate folder. I can't unsee what I seen. I seen six figures.
Mm-hmm.
So the attorney said, oops, that's my bad. I gave you the wrong folder. So then he take the folder from me, swap it and give it back to the investor. Looked at the investor. At that moment, I knew I wasn't going to be working ever again for free. So people would allow you to work for free as long as you allow it. I didn't know I was working for free until I seen what I made him.
Mm.
Although I should have known what I made him because I've been at the very start. I don't count people's pockets, but I do count my work ethic. I count my value that I'm adding. I'm counting the time that I'm putting in. So because I was willing to do all of that, I went back to him and I said, hey, I would like to propose something different. Because I wasn't just doing this with him. You got to keep in mind, I was doing this with multiple investors. All I would get is a 3% realtor fee. That's all they would pay me. Nothing more. So I went to him and I said, hey, I would like to renegotiate our deal. I want to be able to be 50-50 with you. He said, well, why would I allow you to do that? I said, well, because I'm finding the property, I'm fixing up the property, I'm project managing the property, I'm finding a buyer for the property, I'm selling the property. He said, but you already make 3% commission. Why are you not happy with that? If I wasn't buying all these properties with you, you wouldn't be getting that. So I said, okay, I understand. But I'm not about to keep on doing 50% of the work like I'm a partner and only getting paid
3%. That's good.
So he said, well, I'm just not going to do it with you. So I went and had a conversation with all my investors. At this time, I could not afford to miss out on one investment opportunity. Like, keep that in mind. I was really struggling. But I had one investor that said, look, I don't have the time to do what you're doing. That 50% is none. You should have been asking me for that. And guess what? I worked with that one investor. And then after that, you know what he did? He started referring another investor, and another investor. You know what they know? I charge 50%. So now it's not no question, because when they come in, they know the value that I'm at and they know I'm gonna get the job done. So for me, I realized very early on, I can do a whole lot more with more people. By myself, I only can do one property. But what if I had 10 investors come together? Maybe I can do 20 properties.
Mm.
And so from that point, I was able to scale.
Mm. Wow, that's good. I got a question kind of off subject, but this is a question that a lot of people probably had, here's a question that a lot of people probably would like to know.
Mm-hmm.
You said something earlier about you don't pocket watch or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whether it's with your team or others, where people see the amount of money you're making,
mm-hmm.
whether in your various, you got a bunch of businesses, mm-hmm. you got real estate, you got a lot going on,
mm-hmm.
same with me, same with others.
Mm-hmm.
But people feel entitled to want more money because
mm-hmm.
they see the money you're making.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they don't know about the expenses. They don't know a lot
mm-hmm.
of everything going on. But they may play a small role
mm-hmm.
in, they may have that attitude, not attitude, but how you said, I want more money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing this. What if your people come to you like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to understand and be like, well, you're making this, you're doing this over here, this.
Right.
I need more money.
Right. It's twofold, right? So what I had to realize is that there's a difference between the boss and the worker. It's a difference.
Yeah.
The boss take all the risk. If I'm going to put up all the money and I'm going to take on all the risk, then I should be entitled to majority of it, right? But don't get it twisted. Just because I'm working up under someone doesn't mean that I'm not the boss somewhere else. So whenever I went to the investors, it wasn't a matter of me counting their pockets. It was a matter of me counting my value, a matter of me counting my time. I could do, you know, Magic Johnson said it best, right? The same amount of time it takes to make a million is the same amount of time it takes to make a billion. I'd rather focus on the billion.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to put my time out, I want to get the best value possible for my time. I want those who's going to appreciate my time, right? I'm not asking for anything free. Just give me what I believe is rightfully mine. The thing is this, I have no issue paying people of value. Never. If somebody on my team say I don't pay them right, they're a liar. I say that my team is behind me right now. They are a liar. If they say I do not pay them right, they are lying. Why is that? Because I pay them a value. Most of the time, I'm giving them increase. Most of the time, I'm giving them deals. Most of the time, I'm giving them opportunities. You see what I'm saying? Nobody is going to be able to outvalue me.
Mm.
They won't be able to do it. I take great joy in outvaluing my team. You know what I'm saying? So for me, when I bring somebody on, I don't look at they pay first. I don't. Because I know they'll pay for themselves if they bring the value of what I need. If they give me back my time, they're worth their weight in gold. The next thing is this, I don't surround myself in a cage. A lot of these people have cliques. They're surrounded by people who is actually counting their pockets, who is actually watching their next step, their next move, who's hating, who's plotting, who's ready to stab them in the back the moment they turn their back around. I don't hang with people like that, right? I taught a message on Daniel friends. I am grateful that God gave me Daniel friends. You know, I was reading the book of Daniel. And I was reading the book of Daniel, and it really just blew my mind. And if you get a chance, you definitely should read it. But one of the things
so
I noticed.
Tiffany got me reading Acts now. You got me reading Daniel. How many chapters in Daniel? Do I start at chapter one? Like, let me know. Because they're in my comments. You and your Bible?
That's right. You and your Bible?
Yes.
Neil, I'm like, are you? That's right. So, but anyway, so in the book of Daniel, what I absolutely loved was that Daniel was a very accurate prophet, and he was not afraid to stand up against the king. Now, you got to keep in mind, back in the day, that's a big thing to tell a king no. It's a big thing not to accept the gifts from a king. It's a big thing to turn your plate down in front of a king. And Daniel was a man who did that. So the king had a dream. It freaked him out. He didn't know what it meant. Nobody could decipher the dream, right? So they said, we know of a prophet who can probably be able to decipher your dream. So they called for Daniel. So Daniel and his friends came, right? His three friends. And they said, okay, we heard the dream. Let us go back. We're going to pray over it, you know, and we're going to seek God, and we're going to see what this dream meant. So they went and did all of that. They found favor with the king when they came back and told the king exactly what the dream meant. Well, fast forward, Daniel and his friends are now favored in the king's eye. But the wise man, I guess, of the city concocted this plan to come up with a new law that if someone is caught praying or whatever, then they are breaking the law and they're going to be killed. So they came up with this. They caught Daniel friends, okay, praying. This is the beautiful thing about this. Whenever they caught Daniel friends praying, Daniel was not with them. That makes sense? So whenever they went out to get burned, they were not touched.
What but you mean go out to get burned?
They was going to die. Was going to burn them to death, okay. Right? But they did not get touched, right? The fire went around. They did not get burned. Why is that story significant? And I'm paraphrasing the story, but why is that story significant? Because they stood up to the king when the king asked them, were you praying to a God? And they said, yes, we were. And we will not pray to you. But Daniel wasn't involved in that conversation at all. They turned their plates down without the leader in the room, because Daniel, to me, was the leader. So whenever you have friends that's on one accord, that's operating the exact way that you should be operating, and y'all not even in the same room, y'all not in the same town, y'all not in the same country, you want to surround yourself around those type of people. So when I went through a time recently, where I had to get a biopsy done.
What biopsy mean?
Yeah. So I had to get a biopsy on my left breast because they wanted to check to see if it was cancerous. Right. And at the time I was, you know, obviously I'm concerned about it. Right. Mm-hmm. But I contacted, I called Tiffany and I said, hey, this is what they're saying. She said, we reject the news of the repairman. We only accept news from the manufacturer. Mm-hmm. That was it. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's so, God.
Huh?
That's God. God.
Yep. That's right. So then Tiffany, our other friend, Tiffany H, said, I'm going to write a prayer. So she wrote a prayer. And so we prayed this prayer three times a day throughout the day. You know, the beautiful thing about it, all my friends prayed that prayer with me three times a day. They covered me in the prayer. It's not a convenient prayer. It was 12. It was 5 and 5. Right. So it's not a convenient 12, 12 and 5. So 12 a.m., 12 p.m. and 5 p.m. It was not a convenient prayer. So you got to wake up at midnight to go pray. You know what I'm saying? You got to stop eating lunch and go pray. You got to stop with dinner with your family and go pray. Mm. Right. And so one of the beautiful things about that is I realized that God has surrounded me around true friends who really, truly support me no matter what I have. My friends don't count my pockets because they know I'm generous. They know that if they add value into my life, that there's nothing that they cannot have. They also know being my friend, they're favored, right? Not only are they connected, but they favored. So the favor that I
how
have.
How you know, though?
How I know?
Yeah.
What, they favored?
Yeah.
Because I see their lives. I see their receipts. Mm. All my friends got investments. Take a look around your head. Turn around. Look at you. Everybody that's attached to me got bricks. Mm. I ain't being cocky. It's just true. Mm. You can't be around me and not eat bricks. Mm. That's favor. A lot of people spend most of their life trying to get investments and they just don't get it, right? They're not with the right people. They don't have the right connections, you know? Mm. And then the next thing I would say is that, you know, we're prepared. We're prepared to go to war at any point in time. We will fight the enemy head up. That's the type of friends I surround myself with. So when I'm down, guess what? I might not be the leader right now, but each and every last one of them, they rise up to cover me, to protect me, to make sure nobody come in and harm me. Make sure nobody put nothing inside my head while I'm down and feeling vulnerable at this moment because I got to go through this process. Mm. So it's important to understand who you're surrounded around, because if you don't have those type of friends, those Daniel friends who are going to turn their plate down with you when it's time for you to turn your plate down, who's going to stand before you in front of a king and make sure that if you about to die, we about to die with you. Mm. Because I know one thing, you're going to stand on God's truth. That's the type of friends I have. And because I have that, I believe that God has anointed me with those type of friends. I'm anointed to be their friend. They're anointed to be my friend. I'm not talking about no little flimsy friendships, right? These have been my friends. I think the youngest relationship I have may be my assistant, 5 years. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I got life friends.
Let me ask you a question. So what's the, you're very assertive.
Really?
Yes.
No, I'm so gentle.
See, they ain't going to tell you. So, no, but you want things how you want them.
I mean, they're usually right, but okay, keep going.
You operate in excellence.
That's always the best way.
No, what I'm asking is, like, when you're operating in excellence, when you want things a certain way, when you are pushing for greatness, that means everybody around you must understand that, right? Mm-hmm. But what seems to happen to me sometimes is that people are so okay with being average that I'm the bad guy for wanting to push you for wanting more or trying to push us for excellence. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that? Or how you suggest I deal with that? So it's mm-hmm. like, I'm like you. I want greatness, but I'm concerned how you going to think about me.
But you
got to
stop dragging people that don't want to be excellent. Mm. There's not nobody on my team I'm going to drag. Mm. This battle I got to carry is already heavy. If you're not going to operate in excellence, I can't have you around me because I have a spirit of excellence on me. There's a way and a level that I have to operate in and I got to remain in. I can't become average because you're average. Mm. I worked my whole life to become excellent. Why would I be comfortable being an average? God didn't make me average. If he would have made me average, I would not be Terrica Lynn Smith. I'd probably be Terrica. Mm. Probably a different name. Like, you know what I'm saying? So anybody that's on my team who feels like they can't grow, first of all, they got to be a part of my core values. And you got to have core values, right? My core values is that we're built in the light, L-I-G-H-T. Mm. We're built on loyalty, L. We're built on integrity.
Break each one of them down for me too. Loyalty, what that means
yes.
to you.
So loyalty means that no matter how bad the situation is, no matter what it looks like, you're going to be loyal to the company. Meaning that you're not going to switch sides for opportunity. You're not going to do that. Loyal people don't do that.
What if the opportunity pays you more?
It's not about paying. Because if you're built in the light, you're going to have integrity.
But what if the opportunity pays you more?
Right.
See, I'm going to go because mm-hmm. they're going to give me a couple more thousand more and I really need this
money. Do
that
person add value to you?
Say that one more time.
Do they add value to you?
Dude, I'm just asking.
No, I know, but I'm saying you asking me, they saying, oh, I need to go here. They coming to you. So that means they're loyal. So they coming to you having a conversation saying, hey, I'm about to go here.
I'm clear. They're coming to me.
Mm-hmm. And they're saying,
so
hey,
this is somebody who's thinking
this.
About leaving me, but I'm going to go somewhere else to go get some more money.
That's right. They're okay. going to pay me more money. What is your response?
What is going to be my response?
Well, let me just help you.
Yeah, help me.
If they're not excellent, I'm going to be like, all right, bet. You're replaceable. Until you're not replaceable to me, it's all right. I understand. But, you know, there's a thing, right? If you add so much value to my life and I'm going to lose you over $2,000 or $3,000 a month, I'm probably not going to do that. I'm going to pay the $2,000 to $3,000. One, because I'm loyal. Two, because you loyal, you came and talked to me. And then three, you gave me a chance to try to make it right. You gave me a chance to say no. If you don't give me a chance to say no, then you're not loyal. You're opportunist. You're going to go every time somebody dangle a quarter in your face. That means you're going to switch sides on me for opportunity. That means you may sell information. I may be extreme right now. I don't know. But opportunities is going to take an opportunity. I don't want people that can sell my business to the tabloids. I'm private. Mm. It's just what it is. Integrity. Who you are matters. I don't care about your reputation. Your reputation is what other people give you. Your character is who you are. So if your character is shaky, you can't be in my camp. Your integrity has to stand for you and speak for you. I can speak for everyone on my team confidently. Of course, Ataya would never do that. Of course, Amanda would never do that. Amanda talked about Tarika to you. I don't even have a thought inside of my head that she would ever do that because of the integrity that she have. In fact, I think nobody would even come and talk to her about me because of the simple fact they know how loyal she is to me.
It's like, I'll give you an example of that. If somebody came to you and was like, yo, Neo was smoking and drinking last night.
I wouldn't believe it.
Listen to this episode, you probably understand having one source of income is too close to none. And as one of the wealthiest people in the world, Warren Buffett says, if you don't find a way to make money in your sleep, you will work until you die. With that being said, I am finally exposing the industry to this very unique, very secretive way to make money in real estate that no one is talking about. No, I'm not talking about wholesaling. No, I'm not talking about fix and flips. No, I'm not talking about rehabs, right? No, I'm not talking about flipping contracts. I'm talking about event spaces. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and show you for $300. I'm going to waive that $300 fee and give you access to my free masterclass where I'm going to show you how to find your own location. I'm going to show you how to fund your own location. I'm going to show you how to automate this entire process. The same process that I help hundreds and hundreds of people do, I'm now pulling back the curtains. I'm going to help you do the same thing. So what I want you to do right now, go to eventspacemasterclass.com right now. Go ahead and register. And as soon as you're done, go back to the episode. Once again, go to eventspacemasterclass.com. I will see you in our next class. I'm sure it won't happen.
I wouldn't believe it.
15 years since I drunk. Well, mm-hmm. maybe 13 years since
but
I drunk.
But I would not believe it.
Right.
Because I know who Neo is.
Yeah.
His integrity. He has had many chances and opportunities to drink in front of us and cut up and do all this stuff in this life that we live. And he has not.
Yeah.
Every event we go to, he say, nah, I don't drink. You know, let's go to G.
Yeah.
Right. So G is growth. You can't be afraid to grow on a team. In order to be excellent, you got to continue growing. You can't be comfortable on my team. If everybody is comfortable, we're not doing enough.
Mm.
I'm not saying be miserable. I'm saying if you comfortable.
Tell me what comfortable means.
Comfortable means that you show up and you do the exact same thing every day, you see nothing moving up. Everything is just stagnant. Mm. And before you know it, it dies.
You're doing just nothing. Enough.
You're doing just enough.
But that's the job, T. I don't.
No, but my job is never
that. You don't pay me
that.
To do more than that, T. Why would I do extra?
No, that's not true. The job is not that. Again, integrity.
But the job description just says this. It don't
say
nothing.
This is why they have to be built in your core values. That's why in my company, you have to be built in the light. Because we probably all got, how your boy said, I got 10 jobs. I don't get 7 jobs, something like that. I don't get tired. Like, we all have different jobs that we run as a company. We all go above and beyond. I still clean bathrooms at events when I need to. I'm never afraid to grow. So when you have somebody that's trying to stop you from growing, it's like the wise man who, it's like the three wise men, right? Not the wise men, it's the three talents. One received 1 bag of gold, one received 2 bags of gold, one received 3 bags of gold. The one that received the 1 bag of gold went, took it, and buried it. He buried it. You know what buried mean?
Buried.
What that mean?
Put it under the dirt, got rid of it.
That's right. You know, buried mean death, right? You buried things for the die.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't plant it. He buried it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The other two wise men went and multiplied it, created interest on their account. They went and grew it. So there's something spiritual about being obedient to go out and grow. So if I have somebody on my team that's not willing to grow, then I have to cut them because they're going to become a bad root. They're going to become a bad vine. They're going to become toxic, and they can possibly bring down your whole entire enterprise. So I don't want no rocks on my team.
Let me ask you though, you need them right now. Like,
I need nobody but God. Mm.
But right now,
I need God. I need air.
Got it. Right now, you got an event happening, you got something going on, and you actually need that person to work.
Team architect.
What would that
it's
mean?
It's a hiring company. Go find me that person again. Mm. And I'll build it again. I'll keep on hiring until I hire excellence.
So you was by any means necessary. It's going to work or it's going to work.
Exactly. I can't stop the show for one person. What you think this is? The only way this show stops is if I'm 6 feet under. Mm. I have a mission. I have to break the cycle of poverty through real estate investing. So just because one person on my team mad about a few tokens, I'm not about to sit here and stop my show. I'm not about to sit here and bear. I'm not doing that. Mm. Be gone.
Be gone. Golly. H.
Humility. Mm. You have to be humble. That's what I'm saying. I'm willing to go clean the toilets. I'm willing to go serve. I serve every other Sunday whenever I'm in town. I serve at my church still. I don't care how many zeros I have in the bank. I still want to see the presence of God. I still want to see his face. I still want to be rewarded in everything that I do. I want to be called a good and faithful servant. I want that hug. I want to see my Father smile. So everything I do in humility. So it's not okay for me to be average. Mm.
It's good. T.
Transparency. I'm going to be transparent. When my investors say, T, I need to look at these books. I don't like these numbers. At any point in time, you say, hey, I want to audit the books. We're an open book. I'm transparent. Neo, you have trust me with millions of dollars. Why? Because I'm built in the light. If I'm built in the light, again, reputation is what you give me. Character is what I have. I have to be able to sleep with this person. And if my character is not right and I call myself a child of God, something is wrong with me. So we will always be built in the light. Hmm.
Transparent. What if being transparent may hurt somebody's feelings?
Me being transparent may hurt somebody's feelings?
Like when I say transparent, like, yo, I got to have a real conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
This is going, you may be uncomfortable. I may be uncomfortable, but this is.
Why would you be uncomfortable? So do you hire people to pay their rent, their mortgage? That's why you hire people?
Do I hire people to pay their mortgage?
Yeah.
No, to get a job done.
Oh, okay. So why is this conversation hard if the job not being done?
I think it's, for me, it's.
I don't never have a hard conversation.
Yeah.
What's for you though?
I think I just maybe got conditioned to average then, where it's just like, I got to have these hard conversations because stuff is just, I don't know.
You just asked me, What would you do if that person come to you and they'll leave you for a couple of thousand dollars, but you can't have a conversation with them about what they slacking?
Yeah.
I'm always willing to have those conversations, and they're not confrontational.
Right.
They're not confrontational conversations. They're challenging, but they're also meant to help you grow. It's meant to help me grow. And I always start like this, just so you don't think I'm kind of like an a-hole boss, right? Hey, I noticed you did this. Maybe I misunderstood it. Can you help me understand why you did this?
You told me that a couple times, so I know how that works.
I want to know, because I don't want to just assume. I don't want to guess. I don't want to, I don't want to, you know, make assumptions. I want to know. So if I give you the chance to explain it, then okay, cool. If I like the response. And if not, then I'll say, well, let's talk about that. I don't really like that. That ain't gonna work for me. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'll use my assistant as an example. She's amazing. I love her. Shout out to Amy, right? But we went through a growing patch recently, right? And I said, would it be better if we meet every single day in the morning for 1 hour, 30 minutes, whatever I have available for that day, for me to be better to you? So that way you can help me more, so you can assist me more. She said, absolutely. So I did it. Was it a sacrifice? Absolutely. But I'm humble enough to be able to go and do that.
Mm.
The other thing is this. Amy is very loyal, right? There's been many reasons and opportunities, right, to say be gone. But you can't replace a loyalty. So I'd rather help her grow. I'd rather help her get it out the mud. I'd rather, because she want to be excellent. When you got somebody who want to be excellent and they just need a little bit more, then you pour more into them. It's almost like a little flower. You see it growing, but you know it need a little bit more sunlight. So put it in the sun. You see it need a little bit more plant food. Put some more plant food in the pot. You see it need a little bit more water. Put a little bit more water in the pot and then watch that thing grow. It's going to be beautiful. And you're going to say, I watered that through my obedience of God.
It's a powerful message. This might be our best episode. Yeah, and we didn't talk about no real estate like that.
Nah, not really. I mean,
we ain't talking about no bricks.
Yeah.
Jeez. That's good, because I think I need to have more transparent conversations and stuff.
Absolutely.
But sometimes I'll be feeling like I don't be wanting to say certain things because
you pay their mortgage.
Because I drive people. Like, I'm gonna drive you. Like, it's like I'm on this call. I'm letting us know what we got to do, man.
That's right.
And but, I'm celebrating with, like, grateful, but I'm like, I need more. Like, we need to be.
So you know what I do with my team? So I do that too. I you know, obviously they clown me because they say I'm the female version of you, but I spoil them. Trips, I take them on team trips. You know, we build. You know, we take a break, right? We refocus, we regroup. Say, hey, I see in this area it's taking you a little bit longer to deliver what I need. Let's bring in two or three more people to help. That's what I'm doing now. Even with my video guy, he's great. I love him, right? But I know I need two or three more because I pay attention to the weak links on my team, right? I'm only as strong as my weakest link. So if my weakest link is my videographer right now because he got a new baby and he's just trying to get life together, I got to make sure I build him up. I got to make sure I got people that have his back so that way he's good. So I'm going to put the money out. And I'm not going to give it to him. He's just stay where he at and I bring in new people. Because more money is not going to solve his problem if I can't get the results. He got a crying baby at 2 o'clock in the morning. He needs some rest.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez, this is a good conversation. Trying to think.
Taking it in?
Yeah, listening.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When do you rest?
I rest at night sometimes. Now I try, like before my body couldn't operate unless I got, I prefer 8 hours, but then I would get six. But now I play ball Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 5 a.m. But I'd be going to bed at 1. So now I'm running on about 4 hours of sleep generally. And sometimes I do longer, but for the most part, like I saw you in Mexico, you know what I did that whole time? I slept. Mm-hmm. I was on my friend's boat. I slept on a boat. Cause I guess I don't really know how tired I am.
Like, do you think getting rest makes you average?
No, I enjoy rest. I think I like rest. It's just how my schedule's set up now. It's like, I really enjoy basketball. So I will forgo sleep so I can get up and do that thing that brings joy to my heart. That really makes me happy. Like, mm-hmm. I got to go play tonight. I got a game at 8:30. Like, I'm excited mm-hmm. to go play. Like, I've got a whole game. I'm excited about that for mm-hmm. me. So it's like, I could go to sleep because I'm on 2 hours of sleep in the last 24 hours. But I'm like, well, I'll go play this game first and then I'll go to sleep.
Yeah.
But for me, I think what happened to me was I started making money and I got to a point where I'm like, and I lost it all. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, God, if you ever get me back to making money, I won't ever stop. And that was like 3-4 years. So mm-hmm. I don't know what it's like to not go hard, not go. I got to keep something
Even
going.
Even the Israelites had a season of rest.
Yeah. I try to do that occasionally.
There's a season for war.
Yeah.
And there's a season for rest. Now.
This whole year is war. Mm-hmm. We're going to war.
Mm-hmm. You're going to say that next year too.
Yeah, maybe the next 2 years. I mean, we got to get it while we could get it.
Yeah.
People get too lax. I can't get lax too. Mm-hmm. I got overhead and stuff.
Let me tell you, that payroll don't stop. They don't be like.
And they want their check on the 1st. That's right. The 15th.
That's right. That's why I want my services.
100%.
I want my services too.
Yeah. Are you training your team? Are you bringing other people in to come train them? Or are you doing all the training?
So that's a great question. So we have a CEO coach who we, pay a substantial amount to. Right. But he's worked his weight in gold because he brings so much value. And he has given us so many processes and systems that we were missing.
Is this over your overall companies? Because you got
all of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Like now my companies are broken up into twofold. So I'm not like I have 14 different businesses, but I'm not looking at all 14. I'm only looking at two, the two head. Right. We have two people that's in charge that we have to talk to and deal with. Like right now, we're rebuilding our property management division. I built it with me outside of it now. It was with me inside of it. So I went and paid top dollar to get an experienced property manager to come in and lead it. And then up under her, she have a team that helps her. And then from there, the finance team come in and they do their part. And I'm completely out of it. So it's like building
out. How many financial people you got in the company?
Oh my goodness. So we have 8 CPAs. We have 4 attorneys. We have.
These are contractors too, though, right? Not just all full time, right?
So we pay all of them a retainer.
Got it.
Everybody's on retainer.
Got it.
So they full time.
Got it.
So it's not like it's full time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And our companies require a lot of assistance. And then I have 2 tax attorneys and 3 financial advisors.
Got it. But you got a controller too, though, right?
Yeah, our financial controller is phenomenal. Yeah, she's on the finance team as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Controller, is that?
Her job is to audit, to find money, to be able to find money and scale money. Like, she just gave me checks for like, I don't know, $6,000, $7,000 that she found for me.
Yeah.
I was like, praise God.
Yeah.
That's she paid for herself. Like, 100%. You know what I'm saying? She has a very strong personality like me. So she's straight about the business, you know, and if it's BS, she call it, you know, but she's a huge asset on our team. I mean, when I tell you she's a shark with them books, she's excellent. I never have to ask her if she's working.
Where you found her at?
Where did we find her? Oh, so my business partner, Derek, was talking with some of his friends who said they knew someone from a large company. They was letting a lot of people go and that we probably should look at speaking with a few of them. And so he met with her and she was actually offered more money to go somewhere else. But she, you know, after Derek talked to her, she really enjoyed the fact that she can grow and help build something. And so we hired her and it's been It's been a blessing. Let me tell you, don't be afraid to hire the right people. Don't look at how much the salary is going to cost. Look at how much value it's going to bring to your company. Like, you know, having her, having a good CPA team, like right now, their whole, like we, our tax attorney, his only goal is to read the tax law for 2024 to find us cost saving benefits. That's all I need him
that,
for.
That pays his, pays him.
Yeah. So yeah. What I say,
he pays for himself.
That's right. Yeah. Go find a way where you can create these tax vehicles for me. And then from there, if you save me $100,000, $200,000.
Yeah, you pay for yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then you do it again next year, the year after, the year after.
Every year.
Yeah.
Every year.
Those are some very important roles.
Absolutely. And if you, and if you don't hire right, you're going to be a hustler, not a CEO. Yeah. You're just going to hustle. Your business is going to be ran like a hustler. Yeah. You're going to reach a ceiling and you're going to be frustrated, stressed out and tired. And before you know it, you're going to be making all the wrong decisions because you're going to be making them from a hustler mindset, not a CEO mindset.
That's good. Let me ask you a question. Switching gears a little bit. You gave away a house recently. Like you gave away a house. Somebody bought a $1,000 ticket to your event.
Yes, he
you
did.
Gave him a house.
Shout out to Brandon. That's right. And we're doing it again. We're about to read.
You told me you're doing it maybe two people, maybe or something?
Four.
You told me two.
I want to do four. If I have a budget of amount for two houses, I can stretch that same budget and buy four houses.
Okay. Long as it's a set budget,
it's
Terica.
It's a set budget, right?
Yeah, a set budget. How much is that set budget?
I don't know yet.
Yeah, you got a set budget. But anyway.
But it's going to be so good. All right, so two to four.
What made you want to give a house away initially? You gave
because
a
everybody deserve ownership. So everybody
you
deserve
heart,
it.
Like, I got to give somebody a crib.
Like, you come to my event, I'm like, you know, nobody's going to add more value than me.
Yeah.
Like, people lie about giving away stuff. We give it away in real life.
You documented it. It's on Instagram right now.
It's at the courthouse.
You put it on YouTube yet?
It's at the courthouse.
Yeah.
That's
the deed.
The deed.
Yeah.
In his name.
Yeah.
Okay.
I be seeing a lot of fake stuff on the gram.
That's right. But this is real. You know what I'm saying? You can pull up.
They be making up people to get the crib.
That's right.
Miss Kendra. She won the crib. Put a COVID mask on her.
Look, never know who she is.
Yeah.
Nah, we sitting up there smiling with the keys. You know what I'm saying? Like
table.
With the top of a Rolls Royce, sitting like this. Like, smile for the camera, dude, and let them know you really won this property. So, yeah, absolutely. It was beautiful. And the beautiful thing about it is now all he focused on is buying his next property. So let me tell you about this real quick before we go. He bought a ticket to the conference for $9.97.
ThePropertyChallenge.com.
That's
make
right.
Make sure y'all go get y'all ticket now.
Yes.
Get entered to win a house.
That's
not
right.
Not only get a house, learn about real estate from the top people in the industry. Learn
that's
from
right.
Terica.
Yes.
And more importantly than that, I think all of that's cool, but get in the environment. Proximity is power. ThePropertyChallenge.com. Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. And so he bought a ticket to the Property Challenge for $9.97. He bought our titanium level. So he bought the ticket. We called seven people before we got to him.
Wow.
That's how you
seven
miss
people
your
at?
That's how you miss your blessing.
Mm. They probably sick too.
You had a house with your name on it, but you wasn't there. They emailing us, "Hey, we heard our name was called, but we couldn't be there. We had this reasons.
Show up.
Reason sounds like excuses to winners.
Mm.
On the giveaway it says you have to be in person.
Yeah.
You have to be there. So I don't care what your reason is, it's an excuse of why you could not be there.
Wow. It don't matter what it is.
It don't matter what it is. And so I said, that's how you know when God has something for you. It don't matter how many people come before you. What's yours is yours because it's going to be right there waiting for you. Seven people, 1,000 people in the room, seven people. I'm like, I got to the point like, yo, am I going to get to somebody that's in the room? I'm looking at 1,000 people. And when we got to this ticket, he could not believe it. Everybody said, it's a scam. You'll never get the house. He went to the closing, signed off on the house. The second thing we did was I called my bank. I said, hey, Mark, we gave away a house. Can you do the renovation loan for him? He said, absolutely. Approved like that. No credit. No, wow. Approved.
Connections.
Connections. Being
resources.
In the right room.
Mm.
So got approved. The bank sent the appraisal out. The property appraised for $115,000.
Wow.
That he got for free. And or 997 from a titanium ticket. Wow. You know, the skeptics that say 997.
Yes.
So not only that, we only use 50,000 to, not 50, we only use 35,000 to renovate the property. So if we use 35,000 to renovate it and the bank was going to give him 42,000, he was able to take the extra $7,000 to $8,000 and pocket it. Yeah. And he still got $70,000 worth of equity.
And it's tax-free. That part is because it's a loan, right?
It's a loan. That's right. So he paid no taxes on that money. Wow. And he still got $70,000 worth of equity that the bank said, hey, come back to us. We'll allow you to pledge this asset over for your next investment. You don't got to put no money down out your own pocket. Wow. This is your access to your next investment.
Is the tenant in there yet?
The tenant, they're actually doing a rental application on the tenant now.
Wow. Section 8 or regular?
Market regular.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm. $850 a month. Forever income.
Forever income.
Off of a 997 ticket. You think that ticket paid for itself?
Let people know how they could join, T.
Make sure you sign up for the Property Challenge at thepropertychallenge.com. www.thepropertychallenge.com. We're doing it again. We rerunning that play. We absolutely love it, and we want to see you there as well.
I was going to let them know how they can find you on Instagram.
Female Real Estate Guru and are on all platforms as Terica Land Smith.
Let's go, y'all. Listen, another fire episode. Make sure y'all at the building. I'll be there. She may have me speak or something like that.
No, you're definitely speaking. Well, you're definitely speaking.
I'm speaking. So show up, y'all. Show out. We'll see y'all soon. Peace. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in this episode. I hope you're getting extreme amount of value. I want you to go ahead and comment below. Share with me your biggest takeaway. In addition to that, my number one goal is for me to be able to grow all of my social platforms so I can give you info, insight, strategy, and gain from every platform there is. So take a minute to follow me on Instagram at Neil DeViso, same exact name on Twitter, same exact name on TikTok, and follow me on LinkedIn at Nehemiah Davis. I would love for you to be able to be tuned into my articles and everything that I drop relating to helping you get to that next level in your life. Tune in.